Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We're still in the Christmas season, though I know it might not feel like it. And today is a particularly holy day within the Christmas season, within the 12 days of Christmas, that we don't get to celebrate with much intention. Yes, on January 1st, we ring in the new year, and for Christians, it's the year 2023, year of our Lord, right? But it's also 8 days since Jesus was born. So what would have been done for a Jewish male 8 days after he was born? He would have been circumcised and given a name. That we get that snippet in our lessons. So today, commonly known as either the circumcision of our Lord or name of Jesus, is what we celebrate today. And in our excitement and love for the nativity story, we can gloss over that part in Luke's gospel that we read right at the end of our gospel. Nothing more than maybe a footnote or a point of information. Yet following the scandal of the nativity, Mary and Joseph may have been seen as outsiders, outliers of the law. Yet they demonstrate here that they are being obedient to the law, bringing Jesus to the temple to be circumcised and named. And even though this is God in the flesh, the promised Savior, the Messiah, our Lord, he must follow the law. Christ seems still bound to the law, which is why without Holy Week, Christmas is just a birthday party. Christmas is not enough. Though Jesus himself says that he did not come into the world to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. But Christmas might seem enough for our culture. But Christmas isn't enough for the disciple, because we follow Jesus from the manger to see the fulfillment of the law. We must continue to follow Jesus. And Jesus will lead us to the cross and an empty tomb. So we must not confine Christ to the manger. When we do that, we miss the ministry that Jesus embodies, that seeks to save humanity from the bottom up. The choir anthem that we just sang, right? Embodying the God that comes to us in the world by reaching out and saving those on the margins with what they need as daily bread to get them through their journey. And when Jesus goes to the margins, when he saves people from the bottom up, it requires a teaching and embodiment of the law that does what? Does everybody sign up for it? Do the faithful of his day get excited about it? No, the faithful of his day get confused. Some are shocked. Others even angry. And when we point to that very Christ, not just in the manger, but the very Christ we read in the Gospels, that also today confuses the faithful, shocks them, and even angers some. And to those outside the church, it could even be seen as a threat to power and the status quo. Our second lesson from Galatians really encapsulates the incarnation for us and what God is doing for us in Christ. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. So God takes on our flesh. There's another thing that we might miss in glossing over all this. God takes on our flesh, but does so within a particular group of people, within a particular time in human history. And it's from within this particular group of people that God comes to the world to save all humanity. the law and the obedience and the fulfillment of it does something that enables not insiders and outsiders, but to bring everybody into God's family. We can all become children. He does it from the inside and brings us in from the outside. We're grafted in. We're adopted, as it says, into God's family. We've become children of God. And year 2023, in our society today, we can still be very tribal. We can create insiders and outsiders. We have our echo chambers and our groups that identify us, and it keeps our world divided. But knowing Jesus and belonging to Jesus, I still contend, does something magical and wonderful. Speaking for myself, and I've shared this before, is that there are people that I would never know if it wasn't for Jesus and if it wasn't for the church. I'd have no reason to be hanging out with them. And I have been given a glimpse of the image of God that they're created in, the reflection of the love of Christ they share. And we couldn't be any more different and belong to any other, many more different groups in the world. But Jesus brings us together. And we share a common baptism and eat at the one table. That's the beauty of God's family expanding in the one who takes on our flesh and fulfills the law. So there's good news in the name by itself. Yahweh saves. God saves. It's not about our obedience then, is it? It's not about our faithfulness. What's it about, or who is it about? It's about the faithfulness and obedience of Christ that saves us. So do we trust the gift that we receive from Christ on Christmas Day? That today a Savior is born? Or do we exchange it for something else? God takes on our humanity, lives under the law, and through the cross reconciles the world to God's self. Adopted children, part of God's family. Our name and our identity has changed. All that has happened. And do we exchange that identity so that other identities can take primacy in our lives? Do we exchange that for our politics to be at the center? Do we exchange that for our ideology to define who we are? Do we exchange the things that we own or the things that we can do to give a status and identity in the world? Or does being a child of God take center stage in your life? Now, we exchange gifts with each other on Christmas. And now post-Christmas Day festivities, some might be exchanging some of those gifts for store credit, right? Purchase something else maybe. But would we ever want to exchange the gift of Jesus for anything else in the world? Or even put the gift of Jesus and the good news of belonging to God in the closet of our lives, collecting dust and never seeking to engage this wonderful gift that we have in Jesus? My eldest daughter got new shoes recently. Just the other day, I said, why don't you have your new shoes on? She said, I don't want to get them dirty. What's going to happen if she never puts the new shoes on? She's still growing, right? She potentially may never wear those new shoes, right? We have this wonderful gift in Jesus Christ that has made all things new, that has made you and me new. Are we going to engage in that gift and share that gift with the world? Joseph Scrivener offers this on the name of Jesus Sunday. He says that our lectionary passages, as well as Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and John chapter 1, 17 to 18, shows us God's favorable disposition in God being defined by the nature of the one whom God became human. Do those named for Christ also know the God defined by Christ? And is Christ the measure and means by which they organize the Bible's claims about God? So we define Christ, we define God as Christians by who Christ is. That's how we know God. And so for those of us who take on the name Christian, how do we live into that? I've encountered people more and more who want to actually drop the name Christian, even though they believe in Jesus. They argue that it's because of the horrible things they see done in the name of Jesus and in the name of being Christian, and they want to distance themselves from that, and that's understandable. However, we cannot allow others to define that solely. We ourselves must live in to what it means to be followers of the one who saves, and as children of God in Christ Jesus, bear that name. And do the scriptures point us to Christ? Or do we use the scriptures to point our finger at other people? Two different ways that the scriptures can be used. The scriptures contain Christ. They point us to Jesus. But some Christians use the scriptures to point fingers, to cast blame, to use them as scapegoats. It goes back to the sin in the garden, people, right? Eve blames, the woman blames the serpent, and the man blames God. You gave me this woman, right? And we've been doing it ever since. And then we take God's holy word, and we do that. But do we take the scriptures and allow it to point us to Christ, to show us how this gift continues to unfold throughout the scriptures in our lives and in the world? Do we see and receive what the shepherds received in our gospel lesson? Can we accept that the gift of Jesus in our lives and in the world is something that we want others to see and rejoice in as well? Beloved children of God, don't keep Christ packaged up at Christmas, but unleash the love of Christ in your daily journey to follow Jesus once again in a new year. Christmas frees us from being burdened by the law. So we really should never be concerned about how other people are keeping Christ in Christmas or not keeping Christ in Christmas, but be centered on what it means to keep Christ in Christian as we call upon the name of the one who saves, Jesus. And in sharing the love of Jesus, we reveal the love of God to all people. So we don't stop at the manger. We will continue to follow Jesus and see his saving power told in the scriptures, revealed in our lives and in the world, at the cross and the empty tomb. And we will rejoice in the good news that we too are freed from the burden of our sin and the fear of death. We are free to live as God's beloved children, as part of God's new creation, as we enter into this new year, following the one who saves us and shows us all a new way of being human. Thanks be to God. Amen.